Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world. We're having a conversation today with one of the heroes of that war, as far as I'm concerned, a man who has served his country with great distinction in uniform and has now taken up other parts of the battle space in his capacity as the executive vice president of the highly regarded Family Research Council. His name is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, U.S. Army retired. We frequently visit with General Boykin, and I'm very pleased to say that in recognition of Armed Forces Day this weekend, he has agreed generously to give us a full hour of his time. And we're going to talk about a lot of different issues of great concern to him and to all of us. And it's a great pleasure to welcome you back, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, Frank, it's great being with you. Thank you.
General Boykin, let's start with a part of the war for the free world that you've been deeply engaged in. Of course, you served in the special forces of our country in numerous capacities. You were also a former U.S. Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, one of the key positions in the intelligence community of the United States government. You have followed closely and been intimately engaging on the Benghazi Gate scandal. Give us your latest reading of what's happened as a result of the testimony that we've had recently from these whistleblowers, the to-ing and fro-ing of the administration as to what it knew and what it didn't know, what we've learned from the emails and so on. What's your reading on where we are today on Benghazi Gate?
Yeah, well, I think the story, Frank, is getting worse. Every time there's a hearing, as more information comes out, the reality is we have three stories here, before, during, and after, and they're all bad stories. I think it's very clear that there was adequate warning to know that there was going to be some kind of attack somewhere, and particularly that there was going to be something that happened in Libya, and there was not adequate protection provided. In fact, that protection was reduced. And then I think during the event, it is very clear that there were a number of very bad decisions that were made by probably by both the administration as well as the Department of State, and probably by the Department of Defense. And then in the aftermath, I think it's very clear that there was a deliberate cover-up that was deception. So I see this as malfeasance, ineptness, as well as deception.
And I would throw into the mix dereliction of duty as well. General Boykin, let's break those into three different parts, because I think that's a good analysis of the situation, needless to say. We're told that the Secretary of State herself, Hillary Clinton, would have been responsible for decisions that left the security of this so-called special diplomatic compound in Benghazi inadequately protected. In fact, despite what an analysis called the Accountability Review Board, that the buck didn't stop at mid to low level personnel, but it really was at her desk. Do you believe that the dereliction of duty, the malfeasance, what have you, extends directly to the Secretary of State?
Well, I don't think there's any question. I think the recent recent five committee report that came out made it very clear that the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, signed a memorandum denying a request for additional security, but more importantly, told them to reduce what they already had. And then remember that this comes on the heels of a number of attacks on other facilities there. And it also came at a time when I think there was significant evidence that there was a series of warnings that there were threats to American interest in Libya. And, you know, go back to the video that was released by Ayman al-Zawahiri, the head of al-Qaeda, just the day before the attack, acknowledging that we had killed Abu Yahya al-Libi, the number two or three man in Libya in a drone attack, asking that all of his followers and adherents seek retribution against Americans. That
kind of a clue.
Yeah, that's a bad story.
It is indeed. We have in the sort of second phase of this drama, General Boykin, very questionable decisions being made, as you said, including, it appears, some by the President of the United States himself, and or a failure to make decisions, perhaps. What have we learned about what role the president played and where he was even on this difficult and ultimately fatal night for four Americans?
Well, first of all, let's ask where he should have been. Generally speaking, he would have been in the White House Situation Room. He would have had his National Security Advisor, as probably as well as the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, monitoring the situation. There is absolutely no evidence that that occurred. So we don't know where the president was, and that's one of the questions that has to be asked. I would tell you that I think they'll ultimately find out that the president was sort of not engaged on this thing, and that's one of the problems, because the military did not respond. The military did not provide any kind of rescue team. It didn't provide any kind of other support as events were unfolding in Benghazi. And as far as I am concerned, that is what I'm most concerned about. And that is because I spent the majority of my military career preparing for and executing operations to go after Americans that were under attack.
Right. You and 700 plus of your colleagues, former special operations veterans, have, of course, written a letter expressing that same concern and obvious and entirely legitimate frustration, of course, in support of a effort by led by Congressman Frank Wolf, now with some 150 or so, 54, I think it is, of his colleagues, calling for a select committee to investigate the run-up to the events of the night of and then the cover-up following this attack on our facilities and personnel in Benghazi, Libya, on the 11th of September, 2012. And General Boykin, just turning to the last of these sets of issues that such an investigation ought to get into, have we learned anything new about the cover-up that took place, and specifically, who was responsible for it?
Well, Frank, I think that Congressman Issa's committee last year, I don't think that after those hearings you could conclude anything other than the fact that they knew from the very beginning that it was a terrorist attack, that it was an al-Qaeda affiliate that perpetrated the events there, and that the memorandum that was ultimately used to brief the American public was altered, and it was altered very deliberately to remove all references to al-Qaeda or a terrorist attack in order to allow them to use the video that was made in California, this obscure video. So we know that there was a deception there as a result of that. There can be no question about that. Now I think it's a matter of getting to the bottom of the other two phases and doing whatever the Congress is going to do with that information that they now have, knowing that there was a cover-up, there was a deception, there was an attempt to lie to the American people.
Yeah. You know, over the weekend, the president's senior advisor was much in evidence on the Sunday programs, and one of them, I believe it was Fox News, Chris Wallace, really tried to get him to answer the question that we touched on a moment ago, General Boykin, as to where the president was on the evening of September 11th, 2012. And he adamantly refused to say. other than to observe that he was in the White House, that he was following events and the like. But he refused to say what he was doing or what orders he gave. And as a result, I think the case for the kind of investigation that you and your comrades have so eloquently called for is more compelling than ever. General Boykin, we're going to pause for just a short break. We have a full hour ahead with General Jerry Boykin, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and one of our country's truly heroic special operators. We're going to talk about the jihadist threat next and much more with General Boykin. Stay tuned.